Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And welcome back to our program here. It's our News and Information Hour, where we try to intelligently and with as little effort as possible, with as little real work as possible, because we figure that that's what most other talk shows put into it. We try to give you our view and our assessment of what's going on. In other words, it's about as valuable as what you might hear at a coffee shop, standing around, maybe near the outpatient center of a nut house. I mean, what difference does it make, man?
Well,
I mean,
we got better than a nut house.
I doubt it. Seriously. I don't think talk radio offers any opinion that is any more valid than what you might hear coming through the vents at a nut house. Okay?
Man, you don't have no confidence in talk radio?
Well, what do you think, man? I'm not saying that talk radio isn't good. I'm not saying it isn't entertaining. I'm not saying that it doesn't serve a purpose to kind of break up the monotony of the day. That's fine. But you aren't actually going to sit there and tell me that I couldn't stand near an air conditioning vent or some other sort of aperture leading into the main day room of a nut house, and I wouldn't hear opinions that are at least as good, if not better, than what you would hear on any other talk show? Are you trying to tell me that that's wrong?
Listen up. What about listening to Rush Limbaugh's show is better than that? Than a what? Nut wagon?
A nut wagon?
Well, whatever.
Okay, bud. Have it your way, baby. You're right. It's all good, man.
Well, don't have to patronize me.
Oh, whoa, look at the big word there, huh?
You mean patronizing, not patronizing you. That's like Mother Cabrini. I didn't say patron saint, I said patronize. They had better made a saint out of that guy that tried to kill all the Jews.
Oh, no, let's not get into that, okay? Let's not get into that. You're right. I mean, but Robert's referring to something we saw on TV. Some scum-sucking dog. This guy was a priest. Get a load of this. This guy was a priest. He was a priest in, I think, Croatia. And he was responsible for shipping Jews off to a concentration camp in World War II. He was a dirty, filthy bastard. And somehow this guy made it through the process to become beatified as a saint. Now, there's something wrong.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. As of the late 90s, when Pope John Paul II was still alive, this priest, who was on trial for war crimes after World War II, who was cozy with the fascists that ran Croatia. If you ever want to know why the Serbians and the Croatians hate each other's guts, if you ever really want to get into some of the history, I mean, to us, that whole Balkans thing is weird, right? And we look at that and we go, man, they are just like, who can figure that out? Well, there are reasons for everything in this world, folks. You know, people just don't get, people are not at each other's throats for no reason at all. People have their reasons. And we may not understand them, and we may not be very knowledgeable when it comes to those things. But the Croatians were a puppet state of the Nazis in World War II, and they had a fascist government, and they were vicious bastards. The Ustasi was what they were called. The Ustasi. Look them up. These scum murdered a million of their countrymen. A million of their countrymen, and many of them were Jews, and many of them were people that they did not consider to be a part of their racially pure garbage can that they lived in. Now, because they were in close proximity to Serbia, they had a great many Muslim citizens, so they considered Catholicism and Islam to be the official religions of Croatia, and everybody else. You better just take a wide berth, or that you're going to find yourself in an oven someday. And this is how vicious the Ustasi were. Even the Nazis complained about even the German Nazis complained about their tactics. You can believe that. They said, oh, well, I mean, we know we're scumbags, but these guys, why, you got to be kidding me. So the Serbians were at war with these bastards. And a great many of the partisans, and to be fair, of course, there were Croatians that were at war with their own government. There were very good Croatian people who were in the resistance to get rid of this. But this has lingered through the years. And so in the 90s, when all of this bad blood became started to pour forth after Yugoslavia went south because it was a communist government that was holding all of this together, well, all of this bad blood suddenly did come out. And it came out in the civil war that we witnessed. And it was all of that hatred and all of those ills that started to bubble up. Now, so you don't know. You don't really know why it is people are the way they are. They just are the way they are. And either you understand it or get the hell out of the way. Now, I don't know why I got into talking about that.
I don't know, but it's pretty interesting, though. Yeah.
Well, never mind. I know what it was. You were talking about beatifying a saint or something? How the hell did we get into that?
I'm talking about that one guy we saw on TV.
Oh, yeah, but we were talking about something entirely different. All right, now, I want to get to Bob Bakian. I know he's in his chopper, and you got to get the music ready, because I told you guys yesterday, and I promised Bob a fair shot at it now, that when he is on, he needs to hear his music.
Yeah, but the whole thing to me is mentally diseased.
I don't care if it sounds mentally diseased to you. We got to have the music before he comes on. There you go. Okay. Now, with our report from Florida, here is Bob Bakian in the Phil Hendry news helicopter over the site of Rush Limbaugh's house this evening. And, Bob, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, and thank you, and hello, and a good evening to everybody out of the West Coast, all across the United States this evening. It's Bob Bakian from Palm Beach, Florida, reporting here from the site of Rush Limbaugh's home, where, as you know, Phil, as you reported earlier, and as you have very clearly stated, Rush Limbaugh, where's the music? Oh, thank God.
Hold on, what happened, bud?
Get stopped because on account of the recycling and everything.
Oh, shut up, will you, please? I'm just trying to, the more you talk, the less time I've got, okay? This is Bob Bakian in Florida. Where was I, Phil?
You were talking about the bomb, the bomb scare.
Right. There was no bomb scare, Phil. That's the point I'm trying to make. There was no bomb scare, and I wish people would stop talking about that, because it turns out it was a package. They contacted the individual that had sent the package to Mr. Limbaugh, and apparently the person did not have the package of the thing, and he didn't, what I'm saying is he didn't have the package I'm trying to find, oh, please make the music start. Please make it, oh, yeah. The package,
go ahead.
The package was not a bomb. It was sent by some jackass in Pennsylvania. I've got to collect myself now. This is Bob Bakian reporting. Hold on for just a minute. Bob Bakian reporting.
Are you all right?
I'm just, hold on. Let me talk to my wife. Phil, do you have a moment? I want to get my wife on the phone just because that was very rough for me.
Well, we played the music and...
Yeah, you played the music, but you've got to get a longer bed because every time it stops... hold on for just a minute, Phil, okay?
All right, Bob Bakian on the line with us.
Let me get, Pasadena, California. Hold on. Where is it? Okay. Hey, honey. Yeah. Do you have extra music? Because I'm here. Oh, la, 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 la. There it is. Okay. They stopped the music. Do you have extra music? Good. When I get home? Okay, great. My wife and I are trying to conceive our fourth child. And as you know, Phil, I need the music. I must have the music. So that when I make love to my wife, I've got an iPod in, you know.
Yeah, I know. You've got headphones on. It's all very creepy, but go ahead.
All right. So here in Florida, all is well as Rush Limbaugh's home has been secured. There is no bomb. Mr. Limbaugh, of course, was out of town, but security was called out. Now, this was a plaque with some wires, Phil, attached to this. That's what they thought it was.
Now, that's what I heard, and my speculation before the show was that it was someone that he didn't know. Someone got that package onto the property somehow, and it sounds to me like it might have still be someone maybe with a little ill intent.
Well, Phil, you never can tell about these things. You never can tell. Will you please not have him do that?
But you got to keep the music going, okay?
Yeah.
What does he mean, yeah? This is my life we're talking about. Do you understand me?
Okay, Bob, it's okay.
No. Hold on. No, it's not okay. Let me talk to that guy.
Bob.
Let me talk to that guy. Where is he?
I'm right here.
What's your name, Dickman?
Yes, sir.
I know. You listen to me and listen good. This is my life. I can't do anything. I can't make a move. I can't breathe. I can't have sex with my wife. I can't say good morning to my children. Nothing. Unless I've got that music playing. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, but the bed ran it.
I don't care. You fix it or get out of my way. That's my philosophy in life. Either fix my music or get out of my way. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Ben Bob Begin reporting from the Phil Henry News Helicopter here in Palm Beach, Florida. All's well that ends well. Bob Begin, good night. I'm Bob Begin. Bob Begin's wardrobe.
Hold on.
Don't tell me to hold on. I'm not done yet.
Sorry.
Bob Begin's wardrobe by Claringhams. Go.
Well, that guy needs help.
Tell me about it, man. I got him on the phone and said I want to do my wardrobe.
He wants to do his wardrobe? That's what I just heard him say. Bob Begin's wardrobe by Claringhams?
Claringhams.
No, he didn't say Claringtons. He said Clanaham or some jazz like that. I never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a men's shop. It's a men's shop.
It's a men's shop. Bob Begin's wardrobe by Claringhams. Let me tell you something. Who cares what that guy's wearing? He's in a helicopter. He's reporting on something that happened that wasn't even news 2 hours ago. It's only the fact that I wanted to get him on the air and clear up what happened here last night so we would play his music, bud.
Oh, I know. I know the music's going to run out.
Make it so it doesn't run out, man, so we have enough time for this guy. All right, so thanks very much, Bob, and we're very happy that all's well that does end well there at Rush Limbaugh's home in Palm Beach. It was a suspicious package. It was not a bomb. It found its way onto Mr. Limbaugh's property and was discovered by his security people, and they thought it looked unusual enough that they needed to call the authorities. Now, it had attached to it wires. It had some kind of a metal plate, so they were concerned about it. They contacted the individual that sent it, and the individual said to them, he assured them it was not a bomb. I'm just guessing, and we'll get the news as it comes out, that this was a fan or otherwise someone who was not acquainted with Mr. Limbaugh but sent him something, and it found its way to his address, his home address, as opposed to, let's say, the clearinghouse that deals with his mail. And it was thusly dealt with by his security. 8 alleged Penn State victims say abused on campus. That's where they say it happened. We got more of this Sandusky stuff.
Oh, man, you want to get the music ready?
What music?
For Bob Begin.
We're not having Begin back with that. He's done. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. Now, Andrew Breitbart has passed on. He died overnight. He was 43 years of age. Andrew Breitbart was a young man, a mover and shaker, as they say in the new media, along with Matt Drudge. I would say that more so Matt than Andrew, because Andrew worked for him and sort of learned at the master's feet. But the two of them were the prime motivators of the new media, the new anarchy of journalism on the internet, which I've always been a fan of, because I think you have to be responsible for your own information. I'm so grateful. If there's one thing I'm grateful for when it comes to the internet, it's that there's just too much information out there now for anybody to be stupid. There's too much information out there now for anybody to use the old saw that they used to use back when I was a kid. This media's biased bullcrap, forget it. It may be biased, but if all you're hearing is the biased media, then you are not accessing enough of it, and there is an unlimited supply of it. Now, yeah, you have to be careful if you're reading some jackass's blog, some guy that ought to be on medication. And he's writing his Fantasyland blog, and people are flocking around that like it's the truth, like it's Moses from the Mount. Well, you know, in other words, there's no excuse. There are no excuses left. There are no excuses left for being an idiot. And if people take information and they purposefully ignore other information so that their worldview can be perpetuated. In other words, if we approached news the way scientists approach science and the facts of the natural facts of life, we'd be far better off. we would be approaching information the same way a scientist may approach the truth about a virus or a certain cycle of life or whatever it was that they're studying. And whatever they find, they find. A real scientist doesn't say, I really, 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 really want to believe that this is this and that is that. And so I'm going to conduct my experiments so that it all comes out the way I want it to be. Now, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It sounds criminal almost. No real scientist would ever do that. And yet people go after information, they go after news, they go after truth exactly that way. That's the way so many people these days take information. They really, 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 really want to believe that this, 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 and this is true. And so they're only going to... I don't have any real patience with anyone that sends me a blog. Read this, Phil. And it comes from freaking Alex Jones's website. Well, what are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, man, that's the guy. You're just so right. Thank you for sending me that, because I just know Mr. Jones is so objective. Anyway, Andrew Breitbart, excuse me, along with Matt Drudge, and along with many others, helped open those portals. He was remembered yesterday for his strong conservative views, which he developed as a young, traditionally liberal living on the West Side. His mother-in-law, Allison Mills Bean, called Breitbart one of the most genuine people I've ever met in my life. No matter whether people agreed or disagreed with him, he never wavered. He was born in 1969, February the 1st. He grew up in Brentwood with secular Jewish parents who adopted him and sent him to exclusive schools. His father, Gerald, owned a landmark Santa Monica restaurant. He attended Tulane University, became a passionate consumer of what he called girly drinks. Whatever that is, man. He said, I would say I was a shallow nihilist. As a young adult, he had three epiphanies that turned him from a rollerblading, gallivanting, jocular liberal into the conservative thinker that he became. He was appalled in the late 1980s when his childhood best friend and business partner, Larry Solow, told him that he was not allowed into a dormitory. He had to live in a segregated black dormitory. He was furious at the 1991 grilling of Clarence Thomas during his Supreme Court nomination hearings. And then, of course, Breitbart, part of Kurt Cobain's generation, and Breitbart became very upset when people anointed Kurt Cobain as the spokesman of that generation. So a very good friend is told that he has to live in a segregated black dormitory. He finds out about Clarence Thomas being grilled the way he was in the 1991 hearings, and Kurt Cobain anointed the spokesman of his generation. He didn't like that either, so he became a conservative. Now, I mentioned this during the pre-show. I only met Andrew Breitbart a couple of times. I'm very proud to say that he was a fan of our show. And I remember him talking to me about, we were just talking shop, and he was talking about a particular talk show that had just gone on the air. And this was, we were talking in Marina Del Rey. We were at an Al Peterson media seminar at the Marriott, and it was a Saturday morning. And Andrew said to me that his opinion of this particular talk show, this conservative talk show, and he was a conservative. So I'm just giving you an example of how really objective he was. As a conservative, you'd think he'd be supportive of another conservative talk show. But he said to me, he said, that show isn't going to go, man. It's a Hollywood guy trying to talk to fly over America. It ain't going to happen. It's going to suck. And he was right. It did. And it went off the air in a year. And that's what impressed me the most about him and Matt Drudge. They knew their customer, man. They knew the customer. They were so smart at sizing up Americans and how Americans think and what Americans find acceptable and what Americans don't find acceptable and what we like and what we don't like and how long we'll stay with one trend and how we'll and how quickly we'll give up with another one. He was just a smart guy, and like I say, along with Drudge, you know, they mined that knowledge. They used to mine the the American mind. So our sympathies here from the Phil Henry Show go to the Andrew Breitbart family, and we'll really miss that guy, man. I'll just miss having him say how much he likes the show, you know?
Yeah, except you only heard him say it one time.
I only talked to him one time. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm just fooling around with something here, guys. Just give me a second, because I screwed up my printer, man.
Told you, go to executive size.
I did that, and it screwed it up. Okay?
Not supposed to go there.
Well, you said it was cutting it off.
Look, but I got it, man. What happened was my printer is printing stuff, and the size is cutting off some of the print. So I made the mistake of going with my friend Bud Dickman's recommendation.
Not my fault. He said it.
No, I didn't, man. You did. Hold.
Just wait a minute. So I went over to executive size. That's not printing. So I've gone back now to letter size, which is what it was. And it's not reverting. While I've reverted it here on the printer, I've reverted it here on the desktop. It is not changing back on my printer. So, Bud, I hold you responsible. I want you to fix it.
Why do I got to fix it?
Because you're the guy that said to do it.
You're the guy that said for me to do it, man. You're the guy that said, oh, go to executive day. That's why it's cutting it off.
Yeah, but I didn't know. He didn't have no idea neither.
All I'm telling you is, see down there? It's red, and it says it's not printing because of that. Your fault, not mine. It's on you. Thank you. All right. It can't be that tough, Bud. All you got to do is just go over to the print feature and change it or something. I don't know.
I don't know what to do. All it says is I put it back to normal.
You didn't. That's supposed to put it back to normal. You put it back to properties, letter size, normal, plain paper, auto select, same as first page, default. Should we go back? Should you go to default? I don't know. But the printer's screwed up, so I want you to fix it because you done did it. All right, welcome back, folks. Sorry to have to involve you in all of that. Sandusky federal probe may have different focus. Get a load of this. Sandusky thing is really a mess. It's such a lesson in life. It's a lesson that anything is possible. Anything can happen. There are no storybook. And, you know, a lot of people believe that they believe in this idea that life is destiny, that somehow there is predestination. And I think that I think we fool ourselves, you know, sometimes into believing that there is just a certain way that things will go. And in the case of a Joe Paterno and a Penn State and all of the greater glory that is college football in America and the great American story, one would think that like so many other head coaches before him, like the Newt Rockneys, like the Walter Camps, like the Pop Warners, like the men that have that are still with us, the John McKays, like the guys that are no longer with us, like the aforementioned Woody Hayes, that he would go down in history. And all we would think about when it came to Joe Paterno was football and the greatness of the Penn State program. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, comes an O.J. Simpson story. Now, it's not the O.J. story as in the severe culpability of a murderer. I'm not talking about that. But think of how radical the O.J. Simpson saga, how radical a shift that was from where we thought it was going, where we thought the O.J. Simpson story was going, where we thought we would wind up with the O.J. Simpson story, the funny movies that he was doing, jumping through, hoops there with the, what was it?
Well, he wasn't jumping through hoops, he was in an airport.
Yeah, I know, but it was the same thing.
Hold on, Bud, I got it. I know what you're saying, Robert. I mean, he was leaping over, trying to think of what the hell he was leaping over.
Like chairs.
Yeah, he's leaping over chairs and stuff. So it was the O.J. Simpson who was jumping over chairs in the airport, and he's in that police squad movie, and he's doing football, and he is every bit the great American hero that we wanted him to be, that we enjoyed seeing, that we loved to reminisce about when it came to his football playing, O.J. Simpson. And the same thing with Paterno. Joe Pa and the great Penn State teams and the blue and the white and the excellence with honor and all of that jazz that he preached. Well, guess what? These stories took a big fat turn, man. They took a big fat left turn or a right turn, depending upon how you want to look at turns. And now we're someplace else, man. Someplace really dark and really sick. It isn't Joe Paterno's fault, but he has been sucked down like people who've jumped off a ship and can't swim fast enough to get away from the thing, eventually going to the bottom of the sea like the Titanic or any other giant ship. It just sucks everything with it right to the bottom. And Joe Paterno is like one of those people trying to swim frantically from this sinking ship, and he never did make it clear. 8 of the 10 men who prosecutors contend were sexually abused by former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky were abused on the college campus, and one was just 8 years old at the time, according to court documents released today. And that would be, when I say today, I mean Thursday. The documents released by prosecutors said 6 may also have been abused at the home of Sandusky, who faces 52 counts of abuse stemming from accusations he molested the 10 boys between 1994 and 2008. Now, mind you, this is what the prosecution is contending. This does not mean that this is what happened, but this is what the prosecution is contending, that there were 8 of 10 men sexually abused, 8 of 10 boys sexually abused on the campus, and there was one who was abused at Sandusky's home. If it's true, it's about as low as it gets. Well, it is. It's lower than it gets. It's lower than anything. The documents released by prosecutors said 6 may also have been abused at the home of Sandusky. 6 now, okay, who faces 52 counts of abuse stemming from accusations he molested the 10 boys between 94 and 2008. Sandusky's November indictment rocked the U.S. college sports world and led to the dismissal of Penn State's longtime head football coach Joe Paterno. Sandusky, who's maintained his innocence, has been confined to his home since December. The court documents said 8 victims were sexually abused by Sandusky on a Penn State campus at State College. The accusers or witnesses said the abuse occurred in the campus football building, in dormitories, in locker rooms, in showers, and in an outdoor pool. They also report abuse in Sandusky's car and at a local hotel, as well as in Texas and in Florida. Now, you know, there have been some pretty wild accusations in the past concerning child molestation that have not been true. The most glaring of these was the McMartin case in California in the 80s. But those were children, very, very small children, and who were found to have been unfairly manipulated by court psychologists, prosecutors, parents, and at least in one instance, media. And it took some pretty hard thinking and at least a couple of sober moments on the part of people who, thank God, understood what was happening to analyze this and to come up with the truth, which was these kids were making things up. Those are little kids, though. These are adults. And adults can make things up, no question about it. Adults can make things up. But adults are fully aware of the consequences of lying. Adults are fully aware of the intelligence of the individuals that they are telling their stories to and the ability of those individuals to rip the living hell out of any lie that they tell. They're very well aware of the fact that if they are caught lying, they can go to jail. So, you know, you apply an adult sensibility to this and you start to recognize that, you know.
Well, that means still don't mean to tell the truth.
No, you're right. It still doesn't mean to tell the truth. What I'm saying is they know the consequences of their lies.
There are a lot of people, man, the same people saying the same thing.
What?
They're saying the same thing. A lot of people agreeing.
Well, I mean, that doesn't matter because there were a lot of, at the McMartin thing, there were a lot of little kids that they were talking to who were saying outrageous things like, you know, they were digging 6-foot-deep trenches and there were satanic rituals going on in the middle of the night. That whole Satanism thing, oh, my God. Never in the history of the, that was a reoccurrence of the Salem witch hysteria, if ever there was one.
What was?
That whole devil thing that was going on in the 80s in this country. That whole, that's exactly what that whole Memphis, West Memphis 3 thing was about. Those three young men got caught up in a devil worship, satanic worship hysteria in that town that had taken hold of this whole country during the 80s. That suddenly we thought every young kid was worshiping the devil, and every teenage kid was into some satanic cult, and every teenage kid was being initiated into a vampire cult, and we lost our minds, man. And in the case of the West Memphis Three, they stuck them in jail for 18 years. Why? For no other reason than a town of people got hysterical over Satanism. There wasn't any evidence whatsoever of any Satanism. And even the state of Arkansas, and I, you know, you can say what you want, but even the state of Arkansas, they're not even man enough, not one of them there has the guts to come out and say what they should have said, which was, we absolutely butchered this, man. We butchered it. That dumbass that I saw, when they let those three guys out, whoever that guy was that runs the state of Arkansas, the state attorney, well, I believe they're guilty. Well, if you believe they're guilty, what are you letting them out of jail for, man?
Yeah, but everybody wants them out.
No. Hold on for a minute. If the number one law enforcement guy in the state of Arkansas says, I believe they're guilty still, why is that guy letting them out of jail?
Yeah, well, he don't have no evidence.
Well, if he hasn't got any evidence, what the hell's he running his mouth for? I mean, that was the most unbelievable statement I ever heard in my life. This guy's the attorney general for Arkansas. He says, well, I believe that they're guilty. I always have a... Oh, you know what? After a while, man, you just sound like you're full of hot air. Because if you dumbasses in that state had evidence of guilt and you believe they're guilty, huh? Well, then you must... You're a cop. You're the head of law enforcement in that state. You ought to know what you're talking about. If you've got evidence that tells you those guys are guilty, then their asses should still be in prison, you dumbass. Not cutting deals to let them out. And to save your face and to save the state of Arkansas money, they made them plead guilty. Well, they didn't have to take the plea, Phil. No, you're right. They didn't have to take the plea. They could have stayed in prison. And as one of them said, if I'd done that, my friend would still be on death row and they could kill him. They would kill him. He'd still be in prison and they could pull a switch on him or whatever they do in Arkansas and he would be dead. That's why I went ahead and said, okay. Otherwise, that kid didn't want to do that. He did not want to plead guilty. He was going to stay in jail. Well, the same thing holds for this hysteria surrounding McMartin. It was a Satanism thing. Until finally, you know, there were people who were indicted unfairly, and they lost their business, they lost their reputation, they lost everything. So, yeah, people lie. In this instance, though, you've got adults who know the consequences of their lies. They understand the challenge ahead if they lie. They understand the possibility that their lie will be found out. There's too much going on here, man. There's far too much at stake here for these people to stand there and lie about Jerry Sandusky, which I'm not saying they're not. They could be, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think they are, because how many people, you know, you'd have to get your story straight and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's just there are a lot of people, and we also have the incident of that mother who let the cops either eavesdrop or wiretap the conversation she had with Sandusky, asking him to apologize for his behavior with her son. And in point of fact, he did. You know, it was out of hand, and I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have done that. So this guy Sandusky's been in. He's had contact with the police before. And, you know, it ain't been good. Despite the new information, Sandusky's defense attorney told Reuters he'd been hoping for more information on the accusers and the nature of the allegations in the so-called bill of particulars. We may file a motion in the near future for more specific response. We don't believe any of the information in the Commonwealth's response will alter our defense. We're continuing with the preparation of Jerry's defense with the goal of obtaining an acquittal on all charges filed against him. State Attorney General Linda Kelly said in a court paper her office still had not identified so-called Victim 2 and Victim 8. The boys' ages when the alleged abuse began ranged from 8 to 13. She hadn't identified? How the hell do you know that you've got victims if you can't identify them?
What do you mean?
If you've got two victims, okay, her office still had not identified so-called... If you've got two victims and you know that these people exist, you know these this happened, why is it you don't know who they are?
Well, maybe somebody saw, but they don't know who.
You mean it was just on the word of witnesses?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show with our final segment here on our News and Information Hour on this Thursday night, now Friday morning. And guess what, man? I got my weekends. No more 6 days. I can't believe it. You know, that's going to be worth a lot of money just to be able to sleep in on Saturday. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do you think I'm looking for, bud?
Not even a name of a guy to want a BSP.
Exactly. I forgot to bring the iPhone down here. It's the only place where I have that guy's information stored, but we do have a winner of our... Look, no service, naturally. But the point being, we do have a winner of our free BSP for the month, and by God, we're going... I announced his name the other night, so we're good. His name's Greg, but I got his last name. It's been a really squirrely first part of the month. Let me just put it that way. Anyway, congratulations. We've given away a free BSP. And if you'd like to win a free month, a free subscription for a solid month to the Phil Henry Show website, all you have to do is do one of two things. You go to our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS, and like the page. And once you like that page, you are in the running to be possibly to win that free BSP. Or you can go to Twitter and go to twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. That's Phil Henry Show. And you hashtag the name Phil Henry. Hashtag Phil Henry. Either way, you're in the drawing for that month's free BSP. The next one that we've got coming up for the month of April. And you know what's cool about giving away these free BSPs, man? I can look forward to the next month and the next month. And then the next thing you know, it's summertime. Hey.
I don't want the summer to get here too fast. I want to enjoy, like, just spit it out, man. Just anticipating it.
Okay, good. That's a very good way of looking at it, bud. Good boy. All right, what else? So I did the Sandusky thing. And that's sick and twisted, man. I don't want to talk any more about that to you. The only other thing that I had left was it was a really good month for buying cars, I guess. U.S. automakers reported, especially the fuel-efficient cars. The fuel-efficient cars are doing better in terms of sales. And so that is a plus. Detroit apparently has had a good period of sales, and that in turn has helped the stock market. Right now, they're looking at a stock market that could bust through the 14,000 point mark, certainly by the end of the month, if not sooner. And they're now anticipating that maybe it's going to begin to set all kinds of new records. Now, what does all of this stuff mean? It doesn't mean anything really, because it's I'm not trying to bum anybody out, but the fact is, as we've always said, the stock market. Watching it is like watching the crowd at a baseball game. You're not watching the game, you're watching the crowd. But it's something that these guys that are trying to get Obama out of the White House, they're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. The economy improving slightly. And there are people that are going to say, now I'm hearing the following, we can do better. Now, that's not exactly what I call a rallying cry. That's not Braveheart on the mountain, you know what I mean? That ain't some guy who's painted his face, pulling up his kilt, showing everybody what he's got and saying, hey, hey, ho, let's get on there, man, and burn York. Yeah, woo! That's, we can do better. You don't see him swinging their swords in the air on that one.
That kind of baby, man, that ain't going to get nobody going.
You better believe it's not going to get any, we can do better. See, you know, this has been, I'm telling you, I don't think I've lived through a more fascinating period in American politics. I've heard more people who think they just got it all figured out, man. when Obama became president and the economy was in absolute ruins, and it wasn't his fault any more than it was President Bush's fault, if you want to get right down to it. You had a lot of behind the scenes. You had a lot of in front of the scenes. All kinds of people making all kinds of moves with the Fannie Mae and the manipulation of these mortgages in favor of the low-income people, getting everybody the American dream, trying to force-feed the idea that the American dream is possible for everyone, and let's get it yesterday. I mean, all of these things conspired to wreck the economy. And now what do we got? Now we got an economy that may be recovering and a bunch of Republicans that still can't agree on the color of the sky. So it's going to be real interesting. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Don't forget that we are online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And, of course, that's where you can find our live streaming video as well as our archives. We do appreciate you guys being with us each and every night. Join us again tonight at 10 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, 1 a.m. on the West Coast. 10 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast.
Where's the West Coast?
That's Pacific. For the Phil Henry Show. And until then, adios, baby, and thank you. And that two-day weekend, oh, yeah.
Later.
Phil Henry.